I practice being a Christian. I practice loving. I practice forgiving. You know why you keep having people being offending you? You keep having people come against you and you got to keep on forgiving them? It's because you ain't there yet. God just keeps sending that stuff your way so that you can keep forgiving, so that you can practice. If you didn't have somebody lie on you, Lord have mercy. I'm just going to talk to y'all, because if you didn't have somebody lie on you, you never would know how to forgive. If they didn't come back and do it again, you wouldn't know how to do what Jesus said when he said do it 7 times in a day. When they come to you over and over and they do stuff and you say, this is the last time, God said, no, it ain't. You just don't know. When you wake up in the morning, I got somebody else that's going to come to your life and you ain't going to like what they're going to do or say, but you're going to have to forgive them if you want to be like me. So what God is doing, he's bringing the pain, because without pain, there's no gain. He's bringing that stuff in our life so that we can be more like him. There is some necessary stuff that we must deal with that we may not like, but it makes us a better Christian, because we learn now how to have joy in the midst of sorrow, how to have peace in the midst of the storm. He teaches us through much tribulation, we come into the kingdom. In other words, we become the subjects of the kingdom, because now we know how to pledge our allegiance to the king and live like kingdom people are supposed to, rather than doing what we want to do. Amen. I know y'all don't like that. Amen. But that's all right. I don't like it either, but that's what it is. Tribulation, the Bible says, works patience. And I told somebody the other day, he was talking about, I need some patience. I just pray that.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 33. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. I hear the page is still turning, so we're going to give you a moment, but when you get to that place, say amen. Amen. Well, I want you to begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in his presence. Simple text. Talks about when they came to a place, which was Calvary, they crucified him. two male factors were there with him, one on the right and one on the left. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, a place called Calvary. A place called Calvary. In the Holy Writ, places are super significant for one reason or another. In our lives, places are super significant for one reason or another. There are many things that we can attribute to happening or ascribe a certain feeling, whether it was physical, emotional, or spiritual, that happened in a certain place. And lest we miss the importance of the places in our lives, there's much history that can be told about certain places. Even when you are emotionally in a certain place, how many times have you heard a song and it took you back to a certain place and a smile broke out on your face and you say, oh, I remember when. Because it brought you back to a certain place. How many times when you heard a certain name and it took you to a certain place and an event that unfolded in that place, it had a profound effect on you. And even when you are experiencing challenges and problems and situations that are unhappy, you have been gifted, even though you may have been physically restrained, shackled and handcuffed, your mind being free enough to fly like a bird, can take you to a happier place. Paul said, I think myself happy. In other words, he was finding himself in a distraughtful situation, but yet he used his mind to carry him to a happy place. And all through the Word of God, in all three areas, physical, emotional, and spiritual, there are places connected with the experiences of Jesus and the people of the Bible and even the people of God in this world and in this time today. Physically, when you look at this mountain called Calvary, I just need to back up just a little bit, if you don't mind, and just share a few things with special places like mountains. It is suggested by some historians that Mount Everest was the place where the ark landed after the flood of Noah. It was Mount Moriah where Abraham took Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Isaac, looking, seeing, knowing the routine, said, Father, I see the wood, I see the knife, I see the fire, I see the rope, but I don't see the lamb. And Abraham prophetically responded, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And then it was on Mount Sinai where God gave to Moses the written law known as the Ten Commandments, and Moses then gave them to the people of God. It was on Mount Nebo, or rather Mount Pisgah, where Moses looked over and saw the promised land, because when he sinned, God forbade him to enter into the promised land, but he blessed him to be able to look over and see the promised land. It was on Mount Nebo that Moses died and God buried him and then turned around and buried his grave so that no man could find Moses' grave then or now. It was on Mount Carmel when the prophet Elijah challenged the 850 prophets of Baal and the grove, whatever God would answer by fire, let him be God, and Jehovah won. It was on Mount Zion where David discovered the strong hope of God in time of trouble. It was on the Mount of Olives when Jesus would retreat to go in prayer and pray to his Father and share intimate concerns about his sojourn here on planet Earth. It was on Mount Hermon when Jesus was transfigured and his divinity outshone his humanity. Peter, James, and John were permitted to go on the top with him, and when they saw it, they said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." God split the heavens open and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." But it was on Mount Calvary where the awesome price for all men's sin were paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It was on Mount Calvary, the place that is called the place of the skull. Matthew 27 and 33 calls it in the Hebrew name Golgotha. Mark 15 and 22 calls that place Golgotha. John 19 and 17 calls that place Golgotha. But Luke calls that place Calvary. Calvary. He uses the Greek word Calvary, which means cranium. Luke was a physician, so he used a term out of the medicine book, if you will, used a biological term and called the place of the skull cranium. He was the only one who said differently from the other writers because those writers were focused on the Jewish population, where Luke was focused on the Gentile population. So he gave them something that they could readily relate to. So Luke is the only one that calls it Calvary. Calvary, where some 30,000 plus men were crucified. Jesus wasn't the only one, he and the two male factors. Calvary, it is said, where anywhere on that hill and around that hill, folk who had no one to claim them would allow their bodies to be picked by the birds and the buzzards, and their flesh rotted and fell to the ground, where scavengers would eat up their flesh and drag their bones. And at any given time, you could walk and kick a skull like you're kicking a soccer ball. I wish I had somebody to hear me here today. Calvary, that place where Jesus Christ gave his life for whosoever will, at that place called Calvary. Let me just tell you a few things about Calvary, and then I'm going to let you go. One, it was a place prophesied. Isaiah said at that place he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He said, prophesying, that he was numbered with the transgressors. David picked it up and said that he would shout in mirroring him, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then not only that, he talked about how they gambled for his clothes. And all of there, so many other prophecies about this place concerning Jesus. But that wasn't the only reason Calvary stood. Calvary was a place of provisions, because God provided every need of man on the cross of Christ, in his physical body, in his spiritual soul, and in his emotional well-being. God provided all. One of the things that I think would be helpful for you to understand is that's the reason the songwriter says Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he made it, washed it white as snow. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. But then Calvary was a place of prayer, because when he was on Calvary's cross, he uttered 7 utterances. One of the first utterances he uttered was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, preacher said one time, I asked the Lord Jesus, why did you say, "Father," at this point, and said, "My God, my God," at another point? Jesus said, when I said, "Father," I was talking to the Father as a son. But when I said, my God," I was talking to God as a servant. And somebody said that if he had said, "My God," my Father," instead of my God," before he would have gotten to "Why hast thou forsaken," he said, all of earth would have been destroyed for God stepping in and rescuing his son. But his son had to die as a servant as well as a son. So listen at this. "Father, forgive them." Jesus, did you not know who the "them" were? Jesus said, yes. Wasn't it Herod that wanted you killed from the first? He said, yes. Wasn't it Pilate who had the opportunity to release you when he chose to let the criminal and murderer Barabbas go? Jesus said, yes. Wasn't it the Roman soldiers who nailed your hands to the cross and riveted your feet to the cross, plaited a thorny crown placed on your head? Was it the Roman soldiers, the ones who plucked the hairs out of your beard, spat in your face, slapped you in the face, ridiculed and mocked you? Wasn't it the Roman soldiers? Jesus said, yes. He said, well, why didn't you just say, "Father, forgive Herod and Pilate and the Roman soldiers"? Why didn't you call them out? Jesus said, because I would have left some out if I had just said those three. What do you mean, Jesus? Well, can I take you back a little bit? When Adam sinned in the garden, his sins put me on the cross. When Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister instead of his wife, his sins put me on the cross. When David, the king of Israel, took another man's wife, committed adultery, and then had him killed, his sins put me on the cross. I wish I had a helper in this house. He said,
And he went on down the lines. He said, but not only that, I don't even have to go back that far. Your grandfather's sins, your daddy's sins, your sins, your mama's sins, your children, brothers and sisters' sins, everybody who would ever sin has put me on the cross. So that's why I chose to say, Father, forgive them. Because them was inclusive of every person who sinned. Calvary was not only a place of prophecy and a place of provisions and a place of prayer, but Calvary was a place of pain. Jesus suffered pain like nobody has ever endured. You think about the greatest pain you've ever had in your life. Multiply that by 1,000, and you might get an inkling of the pain he went through. It is suggested they laid the cross down, then laid him on the cross. They riveted his hands, and we see on pictures where his hands, right in the middle of his hand, right in the palm of his hand on pictures, there's a nail. But there are those who know the human anatomy a little better than I said. It wasn't really in the hands. It was on the wrist right before you get to the hand in a median nerve that deadens the hand when it is punctured. And they drove that nail right in that wrist right before his hands to deaden his hand. And it is because his hands had history. His hands, it was the same hands that held little babies and blessed them. His hands. It was his hands that opened up blinded eyes. It was his hands, yeah, that helped minister to folk. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus came that prayed over, lifted on her. It was his hands walking all through history that was used, that took two small fish and five barley loaves of bread and with his hands broke them, and they turned into enough food to feed 5,000 men, not including children. His hands had history, people. And so while that nail was driven in his wrists and had deadened his hands, they wanted to see those hands of Jesus hanging there on the cross. While he was there, they raised his legs up to a 45-degree angle to be able to rivet the spike in his feet, which meant he wasn't standing straight up on the cross. It was almost as if his knees were bent. It was put that way so he could cross the one over the other and drive the nails through his feet to hold the support of his body. When they then took that cross and straightened it up, they dropped it in a hole. Jesus came down on that hole. The pain riveted every part of his body from his wrist all the way down to his feet. And then while he hung on the cross with his legs bent, he would try to push himself back up the cross to give some release on his leg. And every time he would do that, it was shooting pains all through his body. That was a level between the upper skin and the lower skin. It was so painful that it burst blood vessels and blood came dripping down. I wish I had a helper in the house. because of the immense pain. You've had pain, but you ain't never had no pain like Jesus's pain. And then lastly, Calvary is a place of promise, because Jesus said, this temple, I can build it up and tear it down in 3 days. He promised, no man taketh my life. If I lay it down, I can take it back up again. And all my brothers and sisters, if it were not for Calvary and the cross of Jesus Christ, none of us would have a right to the tree of life. None of us would have a right relationship with the Father. None of us would have the peace underneath the skin we have for someone going our stead, paying our penalty, taking our place. Jesus did it for each and every one of us. And oh, it disturbs me when we go around leaving out the name of Jesus. We sing all of these songs and many of them don't even contain his name, don't include his name. Many of us pray and don't even say in the name of Jesus. Father don't even listen at your prayers unless his son's name is mentioned. The Holy Ghost doesn't even move until you call on the name of Jesus. Demons don't even tremble until you call on that name, Jesus. And it all took place at a place called Calvary. No wonder the hymnologist said, alas and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? And then he said, at the cross, at the cross. I'm almost closing. You better hook on here. Where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. I am happy. I am happy all the days. Then another songwriter picked up the pen and said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. There is a fountain filled with blood. I'm still talking about Jesus. I'm still talking about Calvary. Drawn from Emmanuel's vein, sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all that guilty stain. I'm gonna leave you when I tell you there was an old man who had died and gone to heaven. And when he got there, Saint Peter met him at the gate and asked him what his name was. And he told him what his name was. And the man said, well, what do I do now? And St. Peter said, well, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can come on in.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow.
Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program.